Hi everyone, this is Steven. Welcome to a new episode of my podcast. In this episode, I want to share with you 8 customer experience trends for 2021. This podcast is originally made in a video format for my YouTube channel. You can check it out there with some visual support if you would like that. And here we're broadcasting that video so you can listen to it while you're walking, while you're in your car, or enjoying the sun during a run. I really hope you're going to enjoy this new episode of my podcast, 8 customer experience trends for 2021. First one is everywhere commerce. In the past, we used to go to stores to buy things. And even with e-commerce, we used to go to online stores like Amazon, or we used to go to our mobile phones. What you see now is that, especially in Asian markets, is that people buy everywhere. And everywhere you go online, you can buy directly from that company. Take Huya, which is a game streaming platform in China, and you can buy directly in that streaming platform. If you see a product that they're promoting there, you just click and bam, you have it. Or Weibo, which is like the Facebook of China. They have tools that allow you to buy from local merchants. You walk around, you check your Weibo, and you see, this local merchant is offering a certain product. You see an article from it and you can instantly buy a product. So you don't have to go to the local merchant anymore. It just, the store almost is everywhere around you. And now we see that this trend is moving from China to US, to Europe. Look at the efforts that YouTube is making, that Instagram is making. Instagram is really doubling down on their shop. They changed their complete interface for it. And of course, they feel the pressure of TikTok that is becoming part of Oracle and also Walmart. And there you see how this is evolving right now. When a company like Walmart, which is one of the largest supermarkets in the world, it's the largest supermarket in the world, it's the largest company in the world. When Walmart decides to buy a stake in a social platform, you know that this is becoming important. Then you have one of the largest stores that is buying access to one of the hottest social networks, because they know perfectly that in the near future, we will buy products directly from TikTok. And if they have access to that, they have a front row seat to make sure that they know how it works. They can figure out a way how to get their products there and they can benefit from that. And this is one of the evolutions that I think we're gonna see really, really fast next year, where everywhere we go, we're gonna be in a store. We don't go to a store anymore, the store is just all around us. Every company is becoming an entertainment company. Today, you know, our relationships are often so formal. I mean, we're all behind screens and we miss the fun in our lives. And it's gonna be important in the next year to make sure that you bring entertainment to your customers, no matter which industry you are in. And this is something that small companies can do. Like, I was fascinated this year by Luigi's Cafe in the Netherlands. This is a small bar. They had to close down because of the pandemic. And they created an online bingo. They became an entertainment company. They said, okay, we cannot have people coming in anymore, no more guests. Well, we're gonna start with an online bingo. It was a huge success. They had like 700 people every week playing their online bingo, bringing in a higher revenue than the traditional bar business. So that was interesting. Other interesting evolution, a few months ago, KBC, a local Belgian bank, acquired the rights to broadcast online soccer in Belgium. So through my online banking app, through my mobile banking app, I can now see the goals of my favorite soccer team, which is Club Brugge, by the way. So every time Club Brugge scores a goal, I get a message from my bank and I can see the goal. Some people think like, okay, these guys have gone crazy. Why would a bank buy the rights for online soccer? But I think it's a smart move because they have one of the best mobile banking apps in Europe. They created a mobile payment platform. And they allowed others from other banks, non-KBC clients, to use the platform. And they've seen, of course, that some of those people became a client. So now the goal is to get as many people as possible on the platform. And then you need content, you need entertainment. And soccer is their first step in that.
and is a huge way to get as many people as possible on the platform that can eventually become a KBC client. But when a bank does something like this, we think, oh, it's strange. They should be focusing on being a bank. Whereas if Facebook becomes a bank, if Google becomes a bank, we're like, oh, these guys are really cool, really innovative. Well, what this bank is doing is the exact same thing, only from a different starting point. And this is something that we're gonna see more and more. Every organization can become an entertainment company. Like MediaMarkt started with live shopping, where you can tap into an online event and you can get explanation about what's happening, what kind of products you want to buy and how they work in a fun and cool way. They are becoming a media company. They are adding entertainment to their other marketing. Every company has the potential to become an entertainment company, and I think the market is ready for that. The rise of emotive technology. I mean, look back to 2020. This wasn't the best year of the human race. Huh? Look at some results. I mean, we are more lonely than ever. People are worried about losing their jobs. We're spending way too much time on social media. That's not good for us. And our working days have become longer. On average, we work 48 minutes longer every day. It's like the commute that we don't do anymore, and we just work from home and we work longer days. And because of that, many people feel unhappy. We feel a lot of pressure on the mental well-being of many people. And this is an opportunity. This is going to be important next year as an organization to make sure you add value to your customers in a mental space, in the emotional space, to your employees as well. But here I'm talking about customers. Look at what Microsoft is doing with Teams. They are tracking the productivity of people to predict if something would go wrong, if someone would go into a burnout or a depression so that they can proactively react. Microsoft is now also installing the virtual commute, making sure that people have the time to de-stress after a working day and that you don't shut down your last meeting and instantly you start with the homework of your children. No, you need that commute to, you know, make sure you have the mental space again to do other things. It's really valuable to think about this. How can you help in the well-being of your customers, and how can you create value on this level? I think this will be a differentiator in customer experience the next few months. Emotional technology. And the positive side is we can add value. There's also a more negative side. Huh? I think for a lot of the technologies that we're going to use that are linked to emotions, that we should ask the question more and more, should we do it? Let's talk more about ethics this year in customer experience. I'm a technology optimist, but I see things that of which I think, okay, this could be very temptive for some business leaders. Take the Halo bracelet of Amazon. It's a bracelet like an Apple Watch or a Fitbit. Cool thing. They measure the same things, but one thing on top of that, they also measure your emotional state, your well-being. Based on your voice, they can hear if you're happy, sad, or angry, or another emotion. Now imagine, I'm not saying they will do this, but imagine what they could do with this information. They could actually personalize prices based on your emotions. If you're happy, they can know, hey, Steven is happy, he's gonna pay 10% more. And no one knows, huh? No one knows. I don't know that, you don't know that, the market doesn't know that. The problem with these technologies is that they become less and less transparent. And I think it's going to be really valuable for an organization, if you want to be trustworthy towards your customers, that you have your own ethical code and that you don't create some sort of a temptation island for your marketing team. Because marketing people and business leaders, they're very nice. But what happens if you put them on temptation island? What if you give them a tool that they can manipulate their customers to create value for them and no one knows? That's temptation island, and we need to avoid that. We need to make sure that we ask the should we do it question more often, and that we come up with some ethical guidelines. I really think that that's going to be crucial in the next few years. I'm convinced that next year we're going to see an increase in the professionalism of digital channels. They're going to move to the next level. In March, we were all thrown in the pandemic, and then we had webinars of, let's say, average to low quality, but you know, throughout the year, we have seen a huge increase in the possibilities of digital to create a fantastic experience now that a physical moment wasn't possible anymore. I don't think that will stop. I think even when events are possible again, when real life experiences are possible again, that we're still gonna see an increase in the possibilities of digital in customer experience and in the spread of content. Look at Tomorrowland. I mean, these guys had to shut down their entire event, but they created this fantastic experience where 10 million people actually bought a ticket for it. Now they're going to do the same thing on New Year's Eve. It would be so sad that next year they only have a physical event or the year after that. I really hope that they're going to keep on going and keep on investing in these digital channels because it's a different kind of experience. And the fact that something can be live, the fact that you have an experience together and then with a great production quality, if you create those kind of digital experiences, that can really, really make a difference. And in the next few years, that will only increase. Imagine what virtual reality or augmented reality can do with the quality, the possibilities of virtual experiences. Imagine that you are in architecture. Imagine that you are in real estate. You can let people walk into that building. You can people walk around the building. They can walk in the garden. They can look at the building from different angles. I mean, everything that is now automatically done physically or was automatically done physically before COVID-19, I think that in the next year, the next 2 years, we're going to see digital alternatives of extremely high quality that will make a difference in the customer experience. A local comeback, but a different one than what most people think. I'm a huge fan of local stores. I live in Belgium. I live in a small town called Knesselaar. And I have to say, we have one of the best butchers in the country. I love to go there. I'm a huge fan of them. They have wonderful products. But I'm very lucky because like 5 kilometers from where I live, we also have one of the best bakeries in the country. So I'm very, very fortunate. And I love to go there and buy all kind of cool stuff. That's local buying and that's a trend, obviously. But what I think will happen in the next year is that we're going to see scaling of local businesses, and where local businesses no longer stay local because of the digital opportunities that they have. And this is something that we see in China today, where Alibaba is really helping out local companies to scale out their opportunities. And they go to farmers, for instance. So they go to local farmers and they help them. They give them content, they give them tools, they give them a channel to sell. Because there's this trend that a lot of people like to buy directly from the farmer, but it's difficult to organize that. Except when you have a digital channel that is organized for you and you can scale out all the great things that you do locally, then suddenly your total possibility, your total market potential is increasing rapidly. And I believe the comeback of local with the scaling of the digital part, I think that combination could be very, very powerful. Scaling the local touch will be a trend in 2021. The search for tailwind markets. Many organizations are frustrated today because they're working really hard trying to win markets, trying to win the heart and the business of customers, but they work hard, but they don't feel the success because they're in a headwind market. Looking for tailwind markets is something that we're going to see more and more. And a tailwind market is a market where the wind is helping you, where you also work hard, but you're moving forward. You feel the success. One of the companies that has been working with the concept of tailwind markets is Egmont. I had the pleasure to work with them a couple of times. And Egmont is a company from the Nordics. It's a company that has been around for more than 100 years. They're one of the largest producers of content in Europe. They have magazines, TV shows, like all the great Scandinavian crime series that we see. They made it. But their CEO is like, okay, many of our markets are headwind markets and I want to go into a tailwind market. I want to go in growth markets. And they said, okay, let's go into e-commerce, but we cannot be in Amazon. We cannot be in Amazon, but we want to go in e-commerce because it's growing rapidly. And then they decided to go into e-commerce markets where they also produce content about, like hobbies and health and cooking. And then they have the content and they link products to it. It became a huge success. It became a tailwind market. They said, okay, gaming, huge market, but can we be the next Epic game? Can we be the next, can we develop the next Fortnite? Probably not. So let's do it differently. So they looked for a niche part of the market. They went for players, gamers that are 40 plus. And that has an advantage because someone who is 40 plus is more loyal to a game than a teenager and they spend more money in the game. So they created some really niche games to this audience and they were very successful. Those are examples of tailwind markets. And they installed this about 2 years ago, these tailwind markets, and I can tell you during the pandemic, this is what kept them going. This gave them energy, this gave them money, and the tailwind markets, like, they exploded. And I think more and more organizations will understand that they need to leave their lane and look for new markets where they can use their strengths to win the heart and the business of customers in a way that it's more motivating and it's more profitable to do so. I wrote a book about the power of online word of mouth marketing in the year 2010. It's called The Conversation Manager. And I think now is the moment that that philosophy becomes more important than ever before. Because if you look at what happened this year, I think it's more crucial than ever to be where the customer is. Organizations understand that they can't rely on their own channels. They need to be more flexible and evolve together with the customer. And the truth is, we're more and more digital in our homes alone. That's basically reality. So a lot of the offline word of mouth is decreasing, like the talks that you used to have during lunch with your colleagues or in a bar, they're a lot lower this year. So the truth is, now and in the beginning of 2021, it's going to be the same. The online word of mouth is the only word of mouth that is left, which means as a company, you should focus more on that. And you can play with influencers, for instance. Influencer marketing is on the rise. Make sure that they can help you with online word of mouth. We're going to see a boost in influencer marketing. And when you do something for your customers and you hope that online word of mouth will be fantastic, make sure that you organize something that is digital, live, and together. Work with those three assets. And, you know, I'm fascinated by this company, Peloton. One of my best friends has a Peloton. And if you don't know any better, you would think it's an expensive, you know, bike to work out in your living room. But this is a community. And in the past, they had these training classes that were offline. But of course, during the pandemic, they couldn't do that anymore. They took them online. And this is like the Netflix for working out that they created, but with live sessions. So you can tap into a live session. You have a leaderboard where you see how all the others are performing. So that's motivating to train and to work out even more. You see your own statistics. So this is live. This is digital. This is together. And I can tell you, my friend is a very good ambassador of Peloton. The word of mouth that he is creating by sharing all these stories every single day is just spreading the news. Make sure that next year you invest more than ever in online word of mouth to make sure you compensate for the loss in offline word of mouth. From zero effort to zero thinking, the next step in convenience for customers. In the last 10 years, we've been trained. We've been trained for convenience. We had the Amazon Dash buttons. You push them and bam, there they are with your laundry detergent. We saw how McDonald's completely reinvented their interface to make our life easy. We saw how the unscalable became scalable, like a personal trainer. It was only for the happy few in the past. Today, with our mobile phones and AI, it's just available for all of us. And we evolved from the one button interface to the zero button interface when voice came. That's what happened in the past 10 years. Now we're moving one step further and we're going towards zero thinking. And you see a number of companies that are really understanding this. Like take Citizen M Hotels. These guys are suffering. They had a terrible 2020 because of the pandemic, but still they're innovating and they want to help customers to work with them and they don't want to annoy them to make a decision. So what they want to do is, they want to become the Netflix of hotels, which means that they offer you a subscription, a corporate subscription, and you have different packages. But if you go with one of those packages, it means that you can always go to a Citizen M hotel. They make sure they have a room for you available, and you don't have to make that decision anymore. The room is there. You don't have to do anything. It's just available for you. So they remove the decision-making part. They make it very, very easy for you. You just consume the product. The Netflix of hotels. From zero effort to zero thinking. Another example that I want to show is Panera Bread, which is like a large bakery chain in the US. They also make sandwiches and salads and stuff like that. It's a really cool company. Well, now they have the Panera Bread coffee subscription. You pay a monthly fee, and then you can just walk into any Panera restaurant that you want, and you can get as much coffee as you want. You don't need to worry about it anymore. You just walk in, you get your coffee, and you're totally fine. You don't have to think about where to get your coffee. You don't have to think about how much it will cost. It's just part of your day-to-day life. They let it become part of your daily routine. from zero effort to zero thinking, a trend that we're going to see more and more in the next couple of years. So guys, these were my 8 customer experience trends that I prepared for you to look ahead, to look at a fantastic 2021. I hope it was a good source of inspiration. And as always, if you like the video, feel free to share it with your friends and your network. Like the video, subscribe to my channel, and I really hope to see you again in one of my next videos really, really soon. Thanks for watching, everyone.